Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 648th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective, our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. Get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Beyond the 90, at beyondthe90.substack.com, and locally on the New York Red Bulls over at ajmsportsfc.com. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. You have a question for me, I'll try to answer to the best of my abilities. And I know, semifinals of the Open Cup tonight. Why am I doing a show tonight? Should have done it last night. Look, I was not sure. You know, U.S. Soccer, they took away the Open Cup section. So when they brought it back, my error, my bad. But look, once again, if MLS ruins the Open Cup for us, you know, I'll use that as an excuse all day long. Just blame MLS. That's all I can say. Now, as we all saw, or for those of you that did watch Leagues Cup, watching the final, we saw the Columbus Crew winning over LAFC in a cup final for the second time in consecutive seasons. The MLS Cup Championship last year, and now Leagues Cup this year. Good for the Crew. Good for them. They win another trophy under Wilfred Nancy, who is definitely showing himself to be, I would say, this era's Bruce Arena. And don't get me wrong, no one manages like Bruce does, but still, though, it has to be said, and we have to give and acknowledge the wonderful thing that Nancy has done here. But once again, this tournament, in my eyes, and like most of you, is a complete and utter farce of what truly consists as a major soccer tournament. Case in point, as some of you know, of course, I am a New York Red Bulls fan. And at the same time, I do cover the New York Red Bulls. Yet, my dislike for the Open Cup, and talking about my dislike of the my dislike of the Leagues Cup. I want to make sure I say that correctly. My dislike of the Leagues Cup because it's a fraudulent tournament. It was forced down our throats by MLS. MLS trying to say, well, we know what to do, we know how to do it, and we know what is for the game in this country. And meanwhile, what is good for the game in this country? What do we know? We know that there are different layers involving this game, a league level, a federation level, an international level of the confederations, and then the FIFA level. Because once again, MLS continues to interfere with not just what they're doing on the national level, but they continue to interfere on the international level of CONCACAF. That's why. That's why I'm upset, and that's why I'm against this idea. That's why I consider this to be a farce. But when they decide to once again interfere with the Open Cup, well then, excuse me, that is when I put the brakes on. That's when I decide why this entire situation is just an absolute fraud toward the game and the meaning of what this sport is supposed to be. And when you're discussing Leagues Cup with other people, and people who are basically blatantly following MLS and calling this a major trophy, which I scoff at the idea that Leagues Cup is a major trophy, because it is not. How can this be a major trophy in 2 short years after Lionel Messi comes to MLS and wins the damn thing last year? This situation comes into play, and already you have fanboys, mindless fanboys, saying, oh, this is the best thing ever. Oh, this is more exciting. What's more exciting? What, like, in what way? Because let's say it's your MLS team that gets eliminated. And early, either after the group stage or after the round of 64, after the round of 32. Then what? They're not playing any games until we get to the end of August. Oh, it's that exciting? Oh, because there's more prize money on the line? Yeah, but once again, whose fault is that? Just U.S. soccer that it's their fault, but it's also the fault of MLS through the cup.us that MLS players and the league discusses how much prize money an MLS, the Open Cup champion gets. And it's also through U.S. soccer as well. You know, once again, people just want to poo-poo it and tear it down. CBS Sports wanted to show the Open Cup. They believed in the Open Cup. Peter Radovich Jr. of CBS Sports says, yeah, we want to make the Open Cup better. We want to give it a proper promotion. We want to show that we, as Americans, care about this tournament. And once again, let me just say this. When you have people, you know, we can debate what's better. There's no shame in debating. There's nothing wrong with having a good, wholehearted debate on which cup competition is better for the game in the United States. It's okay. Some people have their favorites, and some people don't have their favorites. And it's okay to have a conversation. But when a New York City FC fan blogger attacks you for your opinions, and they, oh, yes, I know, I cover the Red Bulls, I'm not a Red Bulls fan, and that's fine. But then when he attacks you for being a Red Bull fan, that's why, you know, you don't like this tournament because you're not going to win a cup or whatever it is. Fine, ha, 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 good for you. Why are you attacking me like that for? Why? Because I don't like this tournament? And meanwhile, let me just say this. It doesn't hurt me like you think it does, because it doesn't hurt me at all. Because I don't think about myself being a Red Bull fan being attacked like that. No, I think about what is better for the game as a whole in this country, in the United States. But if you want to low blow me, if you want to, you know, low, you know, give me a low blow, you know, whatever you want to do, it's fine. I don't care. And then the same person attacks someone else because they think, oh, you're just an MLS hater. No, they're not an MLS hater. Probably hate this idea of Leagues Cup. Did you ever think about that? And no, he hasn't. And then I had to let him have it. I had to let him have it. Do I have to wave my credentials around to tell people, hey, listen, I've been following this damn league since 1996 when it was born. I watched the World Cup in the United States in 94. Okay? I was at the Citrus Bowl / Camping World Stadium in downtown Orlando to watch Mexico versus Ireland that summer of 94 when I was down in Florida working at Walt Disney World after their college program. Okay? Do I have to wave my credentials around to say I've been with this damn league since its inception? I shouldn't have to do that, should I? I've been following this league and covering this league both as a fan and as a member of the American soccer media, whether it be through a regular newspaper columnist or a blogger or a writer or a podcast host. Regardless of that, I support MLS. But at the same time, I support the game in this country. Yes, I do support a club in England. I do like a club in Germany. I do like a club in France. I do like a club in Spain. I do like a club in Italy. But number one, full stop, wholehearted, I support first Major League Soccer and American soccer as a whole. This is where my true passion comes toward. MLS, USL, NPSL, NISA, now League for Clubs, UPSL, Open Cup, the U.S. men's and women's national team, the senior level teams, and the youth teams. Because I want the sport to be number one here in this country. Now, I know it's not going to happen because the NFL is too strong, Major League Baseball is too strong, the NBA is too strong, and the NHL could probably be taken over, but it's also too strong, and college sports, college football and college basketball are too strong as well. Because I don't want to battle against those leagues. I want this sport to be recognized and be on level, equal terms with those leagues. And yet I get attacked? Me? I'm the one that gets attacked? And people who don't like Leagues Cup, they get attacked? It is an absolute disgrace and disgusting. Someone just easily, mindlessly follows anything that Garber says that is gossip or the gospel, says this is better than Open Cup. Absolutely not. The Open Cup has real history. A Scottish whiskey distiller in Thomas R. Dewar donated a trophy from the UK to the U.S. Football Association, now U.S. Soccer Federation, as the National Challenge Cup to promote the sport in this country, the entire United States of America. They battle amateurs, professionals, semi-professionals. They battle for each and every round to become the national champions of the game in this country. And you are telling me that this is a waste of time, and yet look what goes on in England, and look what goes on in Spain, and in Italy, and in Germany. FC Saarbrücken went for the Pokal and almost did the deed, and we all watched them do it, and everyone in Germany watched them do it. And unfortunately, they couldn't do it, but they made a run. They made a name for themselves. In 1999, the U.S. Open Cup was dedicated to Lamar Hunt because of his dedication to the game in this country. And that same year, the Rochester Raging Rhinos of upstate Western New York defeated the Colorado Rapids 2-0 and do it on ESPN. In front of the entire world, in front of the entire nation, that a second division club can beat a first division club. Sacramento tried once. Charleston tried once. Can Indy 11 do it again? We'll have to wait and see because they're on a rain delay right now over there in Kansas City. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, telling you right now, I am here to tell you that the Open Cup is sacrosanct. The Open Cup is what is all about. And if we do not protect it and U.S. soccer doesn't protect it, then it is for sure we are all doomed. And this League's Cup, this farce, will ruin the game for everyone in this country. I have a great show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Joining me is my special guest. He is the sporting director of Lexington SC. This man has been through everything in football as a player, a broadcaster, a coach, sporting director now, from Port Vale in England all the way to the United States, the one and only Sam Stockley joining me tonight to talk about the wonderful things going on with Lexington SC. Sam, good evening, and how are you?
How you doing, sir? Thank you so much for having me on the show, and how's everything going with you?
Very well, Sam. Very, very well. First things first, I was amazed to see the news that came out several weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. Your club is going to make the move up to USL Championship from USL League One. What did that entail, and how important is that for everyone in the Lexington, Kentucky area?
Oh, obviously, it's a huge thing for us, you know, and it's the vision that the ownership had from, you know, from the very beginning, to be honest with you. It was always part of the plan. When you look at the infrastructure that they put into the stadium and the training complex and the growth and the merge of the two youth clubs a couple of years ago, and you look at it like that, you know, as we said, it was always part of the plan. Now, obviously, the way that the club's been going the last couple of years and how it's been, you know, performing and running has been exceptional in the respects of, you know, the operations and everything that goes along with that, which then obviously enabled us to have the conversations with the league when the time was right for us. And as I said, you know, I can't believe a year ago that we were talking about a stadium, and here we are now a year later with a state-of-the-art 7,500-seater stadium. And then obviously, you know, we've just now launched the Women's Super League, which, you know, the female sporting director, Michelle Rayner, and her team, Mike Dickey, and the staff and the club have done an amazing job there. They had a fantastic performance at the weekend where they went down to Carolina Ascent and got a draw and ultimately, or arguably, could have won it with their performance. So when you look at it on a whole, it's just an amazing time to be part of the Lexington community and also part of the North American soccer ecosystem. So we're extremely excited. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do still, but you know, the one thing that I can say about this football club is that everybody involved, you know, hard work and working together and the team, you know, is a core piece of everything that we do, and everybody's doing their piece to try and move the club forward in the right way.
Absolutely, and of course, everyone is going to be very intrigued next season because Louisville City has been such a dominant club in USL Championship, and of course, your fellow neighbors and you know in professional football, getting ready now for a proper derby, not just in the Open Cup, hopefully somewhere down the road again, but now a proper derby against a Kentuckian club in a league setting. What have you heard from Louisville City and, of course, some of the Louisville fans about Lexington making this move up to be joining them in USL Championship?
You know, I've got to say that Lou City and everybody involved, you know, from a sporting standpoint with Danny Cruz and James O'Connor and the guys there, they, you know, we have an amazing relationship with those guys there. We have one of their young players on loan, Isaac Cano. So, you know, they're someone that myself and Darren Powell, our head coach and the staff, you know, we'll turn to and talk to them if, you know, about things and ideas in some respects. So we have a great relationship with them, but we'll say, you know, we're going to try and be the biggest rivals on the pitch and the best of friends off the pitch. And I just think that, you know, where I come from, growing up with these rivalries and these derbies, as you call it, are some of the most exciting things. You know, I got to admit, I'm a huge Liverpool fan. So one of the first things that I look for is the Man United game and the Everton game on the fixture list. And I hope that that's now what, you know, our supporters and their supporters can do. And to be fair, the comments and the feedback even from their supporters has been all very positive, albeit a little bit in jest and wanting to get their point across, and, you know, fair play to them because they've been arguably one of the most successful clubs in USL Championship. And credit to them and hats off. But now we ourselves are in that division, and we've got to now try and, you know, consistently move through the table and get up there and be able to compete against them, you know, and show our consistent performance over seasons like they have. And that's something that we're striving to do. Only 18 months in, you know, almost halfway through, or just over halfway through our second season only, and they've been going for a long, long time. So we're looking forward to the days that the games we play against them, and then we're looking forward to the times that, you know, that we can rely on each other to be able to be a support for each other.
Obviously, USL League One is growing. They're going to get bigger and better next year. Obviously, with Antelope Valley, Alta FC, there's also going to be Texoma FC. There's going to be clubs like in Westchester County, New York, Westchester FC. And then, of course, later on, Santa Barbara Sky is coming in. You know, other clubs coming in, like FC Naples from Portland, Maine, Portland mm-hmm. Hearts of Pine. When someone wants to go to you and say to you, what does USL League One do for me if I want to start there before I maybe find a way to move up within the USL system of professional leagues? What would you say to them about USL League One?
I would say grab it with both hands and try and get yourself into the league, because, you know, I said this to the championship chairman, Jeremy, when he came down. The League One has been absolutely brilliant for us in every way possible. You know, unbelievable teams, real great competition, good clubs, some really good clubs in the league, great managers. And it's been difficult for us, you know, first season, obviously we were launching and, you know, we had aspirations to try and get in the playoffs. And now this year round, you know, we're fighting and competing to get in the playoffs. So for us, it was perfect for us, to be honest with you, because, we took it extremely seriously and we wanted to compete in there, but it also allowed us to sort of find our feet a little bit and, you know, make some of the mistakes that you can make without getting punished too much in some respects. But no, overall, you know, anybody that has the opportunity, you know, I actually think that's probably the best path to go if you can, is go into USL League One and do your best and compete and learn and grow. And then if you get that opportunity later on, and hopefully it's in the promotion and relegation piece. So for me, it was inevitable, you know, and absolutely inevitable. The league have been fantastic. The guys in League One are brilliant, so helpful, you know, so they're there to answer any questions and help. And that's what they did. And they guided us over these last couple of years. So, you know, for me, it was an amazing journey for us to be able to be in League One for the couple of years. And now, obviously, next year we'll be moving into the championship. But, you know, without the League One experience, there is no way that we would be ready to go into the championship.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's a great starting point, good platform. Obviously, USL League Two, I mean, I know it's a short season league, but still, though, I mean, they're going to give part of the ladder if you want to move up from being a short season amateur side to a full season professional side if the League One. So it's another great springboard, I guess, going into as a lower division side in the short season, going into the full year when you move up into League One. And hopefully Corpus Christi FC, they're going to try to make that move as well, and we'll see what they do there. I want to talk about your stadium.
I was going to disagree with that, because we've had the guys, DeMarcus, I'm good friends with DeMarcus down at Fort Wayne, and their CEO has recently, Kim, has just come over to meet our CEO, Kim, and see around the stadium. And, you know, their aspirations in 26 is to come into League One. And you know, we do get clubs in League Two that reach out to us because we're sort of the newest team in the League One system. But the whole USL ecosystem is fantastic, you know, like you said, from League Two into League One into the championship. I think, you know, it's a great place to be, and it's in a really, really exciting time for the football community.
It really is. No, it really, really is. I'm very happy about it.
Yeah.
You know, the local Lexington website for news, I forget the name of it, but I saw the video and I saw some photos of your stadium. My God, did I shed a tear. That is, I know it's probably not completely finished yet, but when it will be, it's going to be spectacular, because to see that ground in Lexington, Kentucky was just something that I keep saying this all the time. As great as the sport is in our country, in the United States, the next step, not just in MLS, but even in all the leagues below MLS, stadiums are a must to show the world we are taking this game seriously. And to see how your stadium is almost done just brought a tear to my eye and a big smile to my face. Talk about that new ground there, Sam.
Oh, it's like you said, you know, I kind of call it the, you know, it's with the training facility as well. And I'm lucky my son's in the youth club. You know, I go up there of an evening and it might have been a busy day, or, you know, you're trying to sign players, or, you know, maybe one of your players has just got injured and you've got a big game coming up and you go up there. But when you walk around that complex and then you look over at the stadium, it's just like the happy place, if that makes sense. Because, you know, the beautiful thing about the stadium for me, and it's just how it sort of worked out and fortunate, and it's credit to the ownership and the design team and everything like that, of how they wanted to. It reminds me of a European stadium, the sort of stadiums that I played in League One and everything like that. You know, it's really close. The fans are right on top of you. You know, the ownership's put $3.6 million into the field. It's exactly the same as FC Cincinnati. MLS field, you know, the same people did it. So the surface is immaculate. And when you see all the chairs and they bowled in three of the corners now, there'll be one corner left open in the big stand. And when you drive into Lexington, either way on Athens Booms, you know, the first thing you see is that big grandstand and the main stand with all the seats in it. But, you know, it's amazing. And we, you know, the work that's gone into that to get it where it is, you know, I was at training today with the first team and you can see there's probably 100, 150 people over there working, all the guys from the office, all the leadership team, they're in and out, making it, getting it sorted, getting it right. You know, our first game will be on the 8th of September, which will be our Super League team, which is exciting, really, really exciting. They'll open it and then we play the week after. So yeah, it's you know, to have a true Soccer Pacific stadium with a state of the art grass field, an amazing stand, and it's going to be a destination. It's going to be a place where families can come. They'll be able to have a bite to eat. They can have a drink. They can come and watch the game. You know, we've got a big sort of activation zone where they'll, you know, the fans and people, there'll be a band there most games, and they're just going to do everything right. And I don't think the city quite understand in a nice way how fantastic that will be over years to come. You know, as I said, I'm a bit fortunate from where I come from that, you know, football grounds are the mecca of communities and bringing people together. And it's the time when, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, you come and be part of the masses and cheer your team on. And we've certainly got that atmosphere and we've certainly got that at Lexington now. So, as I said, it all credit to the ownership and the vision of how they wanted to do it. You know, they put it in place for us, both men's and women's and the academies and the youth clubs to be successful. And then the community has a stadium. And, you know, the plan is to hold, you know, the high school finals, state finals, and, you know, the ODP regional final. You know, there's a plan for the stadium. It'll be difficult because we've got the men's and women's playing almost year-round because they're on different calendars. But there'll be opportunities for the community to be able to be in there. And I just think that's so exciting. And the amazing thing is, you know, we have a pathway with our football club now where you can join us at 7 years old and you can train on the training fields, the same fields as the pros train on, and you can look across and you can see the stadium, whether you're a male or female, boy or girl. And one day you can have aspirations and dreams to play in your hometown city in that stadium. And I think that there is just so exciting.
It really is, and I'm just so happy to see that. Just to go back to this season real quick, what was that Jägermeister Cup like battling for those matches for that championship? What that new initiation by USL League One to have all their clubs, not just, as you know, a regular season schedule, but to have these little in-game matches for that secondary trophy?
You know, for me personally, and I just speak for myself and for the club and how we see it, you know, it's been fantastic. You know, obviously we brought in a whole new manager and a whole new technical team. And with that, you know, we made changes to the roster. We had a great season last year in respects of building and progressing and growing and implementing. And then obviously we tried to upscale everything we can to move to the next level, as you do, and you look for those improvements. And we brought in a fantastic head coach and a technical team and a whole new, you know, and a lot of group of players. So, you know, from our standpoint, you know, it's difficult to blend a group together at times. You hope you hit the ground running. And for us, we didn't start the greatest in the league. But yet we went into the Jägermeister Cup and we started to do really well. So it was a real bit of a yin and yang for us, even though it's against the same team. So, you know, for us, I think it's fantastic. You know, in an ideal world, if you're performing really well in the league, then maybe in the Jägermeister Cup, you blood in some younger talent as well and give them an opportunity. You know, for us, it was something, it was a competition that we wanted to win. You know, we see it as three opportunities or three trophies in a season. You know, you win the regular season, you can win the championship, and you can now win the Jägermeister. So anything that you can compete for and try and win, I think is a plus. And it's been really, really good for us. You know, we've had a lot of success in there. And to be honest with you, that's sort of catapulted our league form. You know, we were doing well in the Jägermeister Cup, and We were nearly there, just, you know, little judgment, little sort of tweaks here and there to try and find the groove in the league. And now, you know, now that, that success in the Jägermeister Cup has kicked on the league, and now we're unbeaten in five, and we've got a real strong playoff push to get into that eighth, seventh, sixth place within the playoffs, you know. So for us, it's been fantastic, and, you know, I think it's been a great addition to the league.
Now, absolutely. Now, of course, this is your final year in USL League One. We have to talk about this season real quickly. 3 points behind South Georgia Tormenta for the final position to make the playoffs. Still have plenty of games remaining on your schedule. You are also 2 points behind Chattanooga Red Wolves. What do you think Darryl Powell needs to do to get this club over that line before you make that ascent to USL Championship?
No, you know, we've got a couple of games in hand over teams around us as well, which is really important. And I think, you know, I've been in seasons myself where we started poorly and finished strong and got promoted. And I've also been in a team where we were top of the league at Christmas and we got relegated by the end of the season. So for me, it's about catching momentum and gathering momentum. And we've seen a real shift in that over the last sort of 5-6 weeks. You know, probably 6-7 weeks ago, we were seeing it in spells, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 75 minutes, just trying to piece things together. But, you know, there were signs that the group was coming together. And, you know, Darren and the team have just got to keep doing what they're doing. You know, he's very hard working. He's very detailed in everything that he does. You know, he sets the team up for success. And then it's down to the team to go out and execute the game plan. And, you know, as you know, sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't happen. But for us, it was all about staying within it. Obviously, we want to be higher up the league and everything like that. And we still believe that the amount of games that we've got left, that we can 100% do that. And for us, as I said, it's about getting momentum at the right time. And we feel like we've got that. You know, we struggled with a lot of injuries at the beginning of the season. For one reason or another, at one point, I think we had 9 of our starting group out. So, you know, sometimes it just happens like that. You know, you go through a bit of a spell and you get some injuries and it doesn't quite drop for you and a few decisions against you. But, you know, you got to stay focused. You got to stick to the process. You got to keep working hard. You got to keep looking and tweaking and trying to find and solve answers. And I think Darren and the staff have done that, you know. And now at the right time of the season, as I said, you know, we're starting to catch momentum. We're going on to, obviously, you know, the cup is a little bit out of our hands now because the game on Thursday between Omaha and Ford Madison is a big one. But depending on how that goes, that will set us up for what we need to do on the Saturday. But then the league form continues. And for us, it's about going out there and trying to get 3 points in every game and compete and win in every game. And that's really our mindset of how we do it. But again, you're coming against some good teams, and you know, everybody's trying to do the same thing. So, you know, as I said, he's got to keep doing it, keep pushing, keep working hard like he does with his team and his group, and stick to the process. And I believe that the fortunes will turn around and we'll have a very successful season.
Absolutely. And I hopefully Darryl and the club will get over that line, get them into a playoff spot and keep the season going and hopefully shock everyone in USL League One to hopefully get to that final. Sam Stockley, he's the sporting director of Lexington SC. Sam, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. All the best with the new ground. All the best moving up to USL Championship. I hope you have a good night, and thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for the time. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, that's Sam Stockley, sporting director of Lexington SC. Big moment there for that club. And look, I understand, the purists, it's not what it should be about to move up to the second division from the third. But once again, let me just say this. And you know, I'm not defending the situation. I believe, just like for most of you, about promotion and relegation should be in the country here in the U.S., but we've got to be realistic about what's going on right now. And the realistic situation is this. We have too many Chiefs and not enough Indians. We do not have a strong U.S. Soccer Federation to say, this is what we need to do to make this work. And I keep saying this. We have to be whole together. We're still separate, but for the game in this country, we must be as one. We must be whole. MLS keeps fighting USL. USL keeps fighting NISA. NISA keeps fighting NPSL. USASA fights, you know, whoever. And so on and so on and so on. Do unto others as others have done to you. And that's right now what we're going with. Then also, how is it possible that you have USL League One, NISA, and the MLS Next Pro as a third division leagues? That's right, plural. Third division leagues. That's even a bigger joke. And now with the USL Super League, the women's league in the USL, that's considered already first division. So now we have two leagues in the women's soccer, professional women's soccer, that are first division. Why is that? Because in the handbook of U.S. soccer, in the, you know, PLS, the Pro League Standards, U.S. soccer has said you can have multiple leagues that are in the first division, multiple leagues in the second division, multiple leagues in the third division. We got to break away from that. We have to break away from that. We need something that makes sense to all of us. Now, once again, we have talented players. That's not the question. The question is our standards of the for what we should do with the game in this country. And until that gets resolved, we will not have promotion relegation and we will not have things that make sense. If it makes sense for everywhere else, it should make sense for us. But we're not going to get there. And while there are people that are still going to be fighting the good fight for that, yet unfortunately one or two goes overly delusional and insults you, which once again, I don't want to be having a verbal bout with anybody, whether it's in front of you or online, because those are the ones that ruins it for all of us. It is those people that ruins it for all of us. What do? I try to give you a common sense and a reality check at the same time of what needs to happen in this country for the sport that we love, for the world's game. Because if we don't right the ship at Soccer House, either they're going to still be in Chicago or when they move to Atlanta or in the Atlanta suburbs, whenever that happens. Once again, we must be whole. We'll be separate, but for the game in its entirety, we must be whole. And once again, I have to invoke and cite John Hancock, President of Congress during the Civil War, during the Revolutionary War against England, not the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, my fault, my bad. And once again, I have to quote him because what he says is true about fighting for independence against England. This holds truth to what I've been saying all this time for us to support the game of this country. Either we all walk together or together we must stay where we are. We must stay where we are right now to keep everything going the way it should. Until we get common sense and until we have someone that will get somebody from MLS, somebody from USL Championship, USL League One, and someone from NISA, and someone from NPSL, USL League Two, and so on to say, hey, listen, I think we got to grow up and really push forward. And let's make this move. Because that's the only way we are going to be going in the proper direction. Until that happens, I'm not saying never. I'm saying until that happens, we have to remain where we are right now to keep the game going. Always remember, the health of the game is more important. And the building blocks that come along with that are very important. And then when everything is together at the right time, then we can push forward. But until then, I'm sorry for those of you that don't like for me to say it, but look, I'm being realistic here. And you have to be realistic about what's in front of us. Until we get the clarity and we can finally push forward as an entire soccer nation, we're just going to have to keep it the way it is right now. Because until that does come into play, it's not going to happen. Saying it and, you know, just saying it doesn't mean, oh, we're going to do it in a snap of the fingers. It's the flip of the switch and boom, we have it. No, there are more issues right now in this game in our nation than just the whole pro-rel problem. And that's all I'm saying. I can just sit here and I can just tell you and I can just wax poetically about, well, you know, this whole solidarity payment situation, this is why pro-rel is so important, that must be implemented in our game. No. There's more issues with this game right now behind the scenes than what you can see. Telling you not to believe in what you think, I'm telling you that until we make those changes, we just have to remain where we are. I know you don't want to hear it, and I'm sorry. But this game is important because at the end of the day, the only ones that we really have to be aware of are the ones that hate this sport. And they're the ones that are going to say, well, it took longer than normal, but guess what? We knew this was going to happen, that you can't survive. Ha, ha, ha. And that's why we are fractured as a fan base. That's why we are fractured as fans of this game. We are fractured. And I'm waiting for the next branch to start to say, well, here's the reason why this sucks. This is the reason why these players who play in this league shouldn't be on the national team. This is why the sport stinks. This is why we must have pro. It's anything and everything. Anything and everything. This is what we must do, and this is what we must be prepared for. Because if it's not going to happen now, it never will. Yes, someone's got to come in, but someone has to come in with a better plan. Not just, we're going to do it for 1 year, and then we'll see what happens. No. It's either we make it work, or we just stay where we are and leave it alone. That's all I'm saying. Because if we implement it now, we could see a very big financial death, and all these clubs below MLS will not survive. That is my big fear. And it must not happen, period. And other than that, we're going to move on now to reviewing the New York Red Bulls match. Returning to MLS on the road against Charlotte FC, it was a 1-1 draw. My thoughts on the match was this. In the first half, I thought the Red Bulls were the better side. I thought they were attacking better. I know that the link-up at the final pass was not there. I'll get to that in a minute. But in the second half, I felt it was more even. I thought both sides were attacking the net, and both sides were doing well, trying to get chances. And both sides, their goalkeepers were strong. There were misses, of course, from both sides, but still at the same time, 1-1 draw is not a bad result for the Red Bulls. They remain in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. And let me also say this. Elise Manuel, once again, has come up big. He's come up huge. He has scored another goal against the Crown, against the Queen City Club in Charlotte FC. The Queen City Killer of Charlotte FC. Fourth regular season goal, seventh in all competitions, including the hat trick in the playoffs last year in the wild card round at Red Bull Arena. My goodness. This man knows when Charlotte is on the schedule, and he knows that he has to put the ball into the back of the net. Just amazing what he has done against this club in three seasons. Three seasons. Got the brace in the last home game of the regular season 2 years ago. Last year gets a goal in the regular season road game. That was a 1-1 draw. Gets the hat trick at home in the playoffs, in the wild card round. And now he scores again down at Bank of America Stadium against Charlotte FC. He's just been amazing. My criticism of this match has been Kyle Duncan. And I thought he played a pretty good match, but, you know, once again, when you are the last defender and you gotta defend against an attacker from Charlotte, and you're even with him, you're sticking with him, you know, step by step. You're inside the area, and just that nudge off the shoulder, just that nudge to get him off the ball, that was enough to allow the referee to blow the whistle, point to the spot, give the penalty. And that was a very, very bad mistake, because I'll say this right now. That does not happen, and Swiderski does not convert his penalty, at the same time doesn't even get a penalty opportunity. Maybe the Red Bulls win this one on the road, 1-0, and we're talking about 3 points. Now they drew. They got a point, and their unbeaten streak is still alive, and that's great. But Kyle Duncan's got to be better than – it's got to be better there. Must be better there. Now, look, it wasn't a horrible challenge. It wasn't a horrible tackle. But when you shove your guy down off the shoulder, you know, that's, and it's inside the area, it's going to get called. And you are the last man, and it's going to get called. I mean, if you want to try and knock the ball off his foot, fine. But what he did there was wrong, and it shouldn't have happened. He learned from it. He had a better match. You know, outside of that, I mean, I thought he had a decent game. But unfortunately, you know, just coughed up a penalty attempt, got converted, and the Red Bulls leave Charlotte, North Carolina, with a 1-1 draw and a solid draw because New York City FC had a 2-0 lead at home against Chicago Fire. And then what happened? The Fire came back and leveled it at 2, and it was basically what could have been basically a point behind the Red Bulls is once again a 3 points are behind the Red Bulls. And it's just one of those things where, unfortunately for them, you know, stinks to be you. But what are you going to do? So as we are all waiting for this Open Cup semifinal match to get underway, that's a weather delay over at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. So if you are waiting for this match to get underway, of course, Thunder and Lightning in the area in Kansas City, Kansas. If you're able to listen to my show tonight, thank you very much. And, of course, if you have missed this show live, you can always catch it archived either through Apple Podcasts, FeedSpot, or just click the link for my blog or go to the website blogtalkradio.com/foryearsteensfire. No apostrophe with the S at my last name. And just enjoy the mat, enjoy the show. And basically can't wait to see what's going to happen, especially those upcoming friendlies. As we all know, Mikey Varas will be the interim head coach for the U.S. men's national team, taking on Canada against Jesse Marsh. So that'll be seen on TBS online at Bleacher Report on max.com through Bleacher Report. And then, of course, we'll have that other friendly the following day, of course, in September on that Tuesday as the U.S. will take on New Zealand. And then hopefully Mauricio Pochettino will be ready to go for October and get that compensation package done with Chelsea so that he can take over and off we go. So it should be exciting. Should be a lot of fun. And cannot wait. I want to thank my guest tonight, the sporting director of Lexington SC, Sam Stockley. My name is Daniel Foyerstein. Don't forget this Friday night, U.S. Open Cup semifinals review show. Once again, my name is Daniel Foyerstein. Thank you very much for listening to the American Soccer Show here, the Foyerstein's Fire American Soccer Show on Blog Talk Radio. Talk to you this Friday night reviewing the Open Cup semifinals. And as always, please, always please, enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good night.